We're going to read Genesis 39 in just a moment, if you'll wait with me, be patient. Let me tell you a little bit of the story that comes before that, if I can do that. And I promise you we're going to read lots of scriptures, read lots of verses there from the Bible. But let me start by praying and then sharing with you a little bit of the background to what happens here in Genesis 39, okay? Let's pray. Father, I ask you this morning to give me wisdom to speak what I should. Help me, Holy Spirit of God, to be controlled and led by you. Help me to think about what I should think about, say what I should say, and not say what I should not say. I pray that your word would be what is heard clearly in people's hearts and minds. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, I pray that today you would strengthen our faith. Help us to have a willingness to follow what the scriptures teach us as a principle of life. Help us, Lord, to really decide to forgive, to be ones who forgive like you've forgiven us. Thank you for your word. Use it in a powerful way in our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just listen as I kind of lay a little bit of a groundwork for you, okay? Beginning in Genesis chapter 37, we read about Joseph. Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob, and we know that Jacob favored his son Joseph above his 11 brothers. Jacob gave to Joseph a special coat of many colors. His brothers ended up hating him because of the father's love for Joseph, special love for him. And they did not get along well at all. They hated Joseph. They despised Joseph. Joseph ended up dreaming a dream, and we got to understand here that God had a special plan for Joseph's life. He really did. And so it was very unique that this young brother, this little brother in the family, God had chosen him for a special purpose. But Joseph one night dreamed a dream, and he ended up telling it to his brothers, and because of that, they hated him even more. He told his brothers this. He said, "I dreamed that we were all, you know, out working in the fields, and we were binding sheaves. We were taking the grain or the wheat, and we were binding it together, making sheaves in the field. And my sheaf ended up standing up in the field, and all of your sheaves bowed down to my sheaf." So the sheaf is the gathering of the grain tied together. So his sheaf is standing up, and all the other sheaves in his dream were bowing down to his. They hated him. Joseph's brothers, they probably mocked at him and laughed at him, and they said, "Are you really going to reign over us? Are we really going to bow down to you one day?" And the Bible tells us they hated him so much the more even because of this dream. Joseph ended up dreaming another dream and sharing it with his brothers, and he said, "I have dreamed that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, they all bow down to my star. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowed down to me." And of course, in the dream, it was representative of his father and his mother and his 11 brothers. And so he's telling them that, listen, I dreamed that the sun and the moon and all of you, the stars, they all bowed down to my star. Joseph's brothers, they hated him. They envied him. Sometime later on another day, Jacob, the father, ended up sending Joseph to go and to find his brothers who were out feeding their father's flock of sheep in a place called Shechem. Shechem. As Joseph started to come near his brothers, the brothers, they saw him coming in the distance, and they began to talk. They were brothers who were full of hatred towards him, and so they conspired to kill him because they were full of bitterness and hatred and envy. One of them said, "Let us kill him. Let's kill Joseph. Let's cast him in a pit. Let's get rid of him. And we'll just go back and we'll tell Father that, you know, some wild animal devoured him." One of the brothers, though, interceded for Joseph and said, "Well, let's not kill him. Let's not shed blood. Let's just cast him into a pit and leave him there. And I'm sure we'll never see him again. That'll take care of it." And so when Joseph came near to his brothers, they ended up grabbing a hold of him. And they took the coat of many colors off of him, and they took Joseph and they cast him down into a pit. The brothers then, they sat down to eat together. And as they were eating, they saw a company of Ishmaelites that were going down to Egypt, traveling to Egypt. And one of Joseph's brothers had an idea. He said, what does it profit us? You know, what gain is there for us in just, you know, killing our brother, leaving him here out in the pit just to die? That doesn't help us. Let's make some money off of this. And they thought, you know what? We can sell him as a slave. We can sell him to those Ishmaelites and he'll be gone down to Egypt and we'll never see him again. Joseph's brothers did end up doing exactly that. They sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. After that, Joseph's brothers, they ended up killing a goat and they took Joseph's coat of many colors that of course the dad would recognize, and they dipped that coat some in the blood, and they ended up bringing it back to their father and saying, we found this coat. We found this coat. Do you know whose coat this is? Do you know if it's your son's coat? Joseph was taken down into Egypt. Joseph was sold to someone named Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh and who was the captain of the guard. Despite all that Joseph went through, the Bible tells us that God actually made him to prosper down in Egypt. He gained favor with people. Why? Because the Lord was for him. And God made Joseph to prosper in spite of all that his brothers had done to him. Let's look at Genesis 39. Genesis 39, and for now I just want us to read the first six verses. Genesis 39 and verses 1 through 6. The Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites." So he was sold again, which had brought him down thither. "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand." He set Joseph to be over charge of some things. Verse 5, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house," Potiphar's house in other words, "for Joseph's sake. And all the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread." He didn't really keep a close accounting of it. He trusted Joseph so much that, "Joseph, you just oversee everything. You can oversee my property. You can oversee my fields." He didn't really even pay it. He trusted Joseph to the point that, you know, whatever was put on his a table for food to eat and so on, that's all he was concerned about. Joseph was trusted. Joseph prospered because God made it so. The Bible says, "And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Now listen, Joseph's brothers, they hated him. They hated him. They never wanted to see him again. They thought, "Oh, we're selling him into slavery. He'll be gone to Egypt. We'll never see him again." But God made Joseph to prosper. Potiphar saw that Joseph was doing so well, and he exalted his position. Potiphar made Joseph the overseer of all that he had. He kind of became like the chief financial officer, if you will. He oversaw all of Potiphar's things. Joseph had control over all of Potiphar's estate and his fields, and God blessed him because of that. But something happened. Potiphar's wife began to stir up some trouble for Joseph. Potiphar's wife, she had her eyes on Joseph. She was obviously not a godly sort of woman because she had eyes for a man other than her husband. And she asked Joseph to come lie with her. And this went on day after day after day, but the Bible says that Joseph refused her advances, her come-ons. One day when Joseph was alone in the house, though, Potiphar's wife, she grabbed hold of his garment and again tried to seduce him. Joseph refused and he fled from the house. But Potiphar's wife, she still had a hold of Joseph's outer garment. And she was upset now. Why didn't Joseph submit to me? Why didn't Joseph lie with me? Why didn't Joseph do what I wanted? And Potiphar's wife decided, I'm going to try to ruin Joseph. All these times he's been saying no to me. I'm going to make him pay for that. She called in the guards of the house and she told them that Joseph had come into the house and that he had tried to lie with her. You know, that he was coming in trying to wrongfully take advantage of her. Let's read on Genesis 39. Genesis 39, go down to verse 11. Genesis 39, verse 11 to 15. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. And there was none of the men in the house there within. There was a dangerous, probably in the wisdom and in hindsight, he should have been alone in the house without any men there, right? Without a witness there, without somebody else there. Verse 12, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled. He got him out. He ran. And that was a smart choice. But verse 13 says, and it came to pass when she saw that he, Joseph, had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth. And she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. When Potiphar comes home, oh, there's trouble now. The wife repeated her story to him. And of course, we know that she was telling lies about Joseph. The Bible tells us, though, that Potiphar's wrath was kindled. I'm sure Potiphar's blood began to boil and get upset that Joseph, this man that I've trusted, he's taken advantage of my wife or tried to take advantage of my wife. And he didn't know the truth. He didn't know the whole story, that it was really the opposite that was taking place. And Joseph did not do anything to touch his wife. But Potiphar was upset and he was ready to kill. And Potiphar sent for Joseph and had Joseph thrown into prison. But you know what happened still? God took care of Joseph. Though he had had lies told about him, and though he was thrown in prison, and though his circumstances seemed to be getting worse, listen, God was still with Joseph. The Bible tells us that the keeper of the prison, the one who was maybe the warden of the prison, if you will, he ended up putting Joseph in charge of the other prisons. The other prisoners. Look down at verse number 20. Genesis 39 and verse 20. It says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison was committed to Joseph's hand, all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. You know what? Despite his circumstances, God was blessing Joseph. In chapter 40, we see two more prisoners ended up being put under the care of Joseph. They were the butler and the baker. It sounds like you're playing Clue or something, doesn't it? They were the butler and the baker. And then this is old time, right? And there was a butler for the king. And there was a baker for the king in the king's house. I'm not sure what they had done to offend the king. Maybe the baker cooked an awfully bad meal or something. But he ended up being thrown into prison. The butler as well ended up being thrown into prison. One morning there in the prison, Joseph looked at them. He saw them and they looked so very, very sad. And Joseph asked them, why are you so sad? They said this to Joseph, we've dreamed a dream and there's no interpreter of it. Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them. Tell me them, I pray you, or I ask you, I beseech you. Tell me what your dreams were. So the butler and the baker, they ended up telling Joseph their dreams. Joseph interpreted the dreams, and you know something? It came true. Joseph interpreted what the dreams that they had, and the interpretation that he told them, it ended up coming to pass. In 3 days, the butler ended up being restored to his position as the king's butler. He got out of prison. Joseph asked the butler, remember me. Hey, you're getting out of here now. Would you remember me? Remember how I interpreted your dream? Would you remember me? And the butler said, oh, I'll remember you. I'll remember you. Maybe I can put in a good word for you with the king. I'll remember you. But you know what happened? The butler forgot. The butler forgot. 2 years passed, and Joseph's still in prison. Joseph, who had done nothing wrong, he's still in prison. Joseph, who'd been lied about, he's still in prison. Joseph, whose brothers hated him and sold him into slavery, he's still in prison. King Pharaoh ended up having a dream. He dreamed that there were seven fat cattle that were eating grass in a meadow, in a field, hay field. And then he saw seven other cattle that came up after them out of the river. And these cattle were very, very lean cattle, very thin. Looked like they weren't getting enough to eat. And he dreamed that the seven lean cattle, they actually ate up the seven fat cattle. And Pharaoh woke up from his dream and he was upset. What kind of dream is this? This is a weird one. This is a strange one. What does this dream mean? I've dreamed about these seven fat cattle and they got eaten up by seven small cattle. What in the world kind of dream is this? Pharaoh drifted off to sleep again and he dreamed another dream. In his second dream, he saw seven good ears of corn on a stalk. If you travel through the country about this time of year, you'll be seeing the sweet corn really growing up out in the countryside. You go to the north or go to some different parts of Ontario, all the sweet corn will be growing up on the stalks. And for it to have 3, 4 ears of corn, 5 ears of corn would be pretty plentiful. But this stalk that Pharaoh saw in his dream, it had 7 ears of corn growing on the one stalk. He saw that stalk with all the many ears of corn with, you know, thick, good cobs of corn. And then Pharaoh saw 7 very thin ears of corn or cobs of corn come up after them. And the 7 thin ears of corn or cobs of corn, they devoured the 7 good ears of corn. Pharaoh woke up in the morning and his spirit was troubled. He called for, you know, it was a time where they would have their magicians and this and that. And he called for some of them to come. And I want you to tell me what this dream means. Interpret the dreams for me. But the Bible says that no man in the kingdom could interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Well, you know what? It was just at that time that the butler remembered Joseph. I remember that guy. Back when I was in prison and I had a dream and he interpreted my dream and it came to pass that 3 days later I got released from the prison and I got my job back and I'm with the king again. And just in that moment, the butler remembered Joseph. Joseph. Pharaoh sent for Joseph. The butler told Pharaoh about what had happened and so on back in the prison. And so Pharaoh sent for him to be brought. Go over to chapter 41, Genesis 41, verses 14 to 16. Genesis 41, verses 14 to 16. The Bible says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, it is not in me. It's not me that can interpret dreams. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. So Pharaoh ended up trusting Joseph here enough to tell him about his two dreams. He told him about the 7 cattle that devoured the fat cattle and the 7 thin ears of corn that devoured the fat ears of corn. And Joseph interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh and told him what they meant. Go down to verse 28. Genesis 41, verse number 28. The Bible says, this is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Joseph says, Pharaoh, God has showed you in the dream what's about to happen. What's going to happen in your kingdom? What's going to happen in Egypt? Verse 29. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty through all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine, that famine following, for it shall be very, very grievous. Be a hard time. Because of the famine, people will die. Because of the famine, people won't have food to eat. Verse 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet. Look for a discreet man, Pharaoh. Look for a wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Verse 34. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them, when harvesting the fields and so on, let them take a certain portion, 20% of all the crops and all the grains and all the things that are brought in, and let them keep it. Let them set it aside. Let them set it in store so that there's food when the years of famine come. Verse 35, let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. What an amazing thing that had happened. Though Joseph had been lied about, though Joseph had been thrown into prison, though Joseph had seemingly been forgotten about, God was with Joseph, and all along God was prospering Joseph and blessing Joseph. God was working behind the scenes, and God had a plan for Joseph's life through all of this. Joseph ended up being set in charge by Pharaoh over all really the commerce of the land to be able to oversee it and to make sure that they would have food ready for when years of famine came. Pharaoh ended up giving to Joseph a wife, and God gave Joseph two sons during this time. And I want you to notice what their names mean. Look at verse 51 and 52. Genesis 41, verse 51 and 52. It says, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil in my father's house. God has helped me to forget. Forget how my brothers hurt me. Forget how my brothers hated me. Verse 52, in the name of the second, called the Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph was saying this, listen, God has let me forget about what my brothers did to me. God has helped me to forgive and forget. He was saying, listen, I have no bitterness in my heart towards them now. I've been able to forget what they've done. I've been able to forgive what they've done. I'm not living with anger in my heart and bitterness in my heart towards my brothers. God has allowed me to forget those things that happened to me, that I don't live with anger towards them. Joseph was not bitter about his circumstances. He was not bitter or upset about the things that he'd been through in his life. He just simply trusted God and believed that God had allowed it. And then Joseph called his second son Ephraim, because God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph was saying, you know what? Other people may have meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. I became fruitful even in the time of affliction. I became fruitful and blessed of God and prospered, even though there was people that were out to hurt me, out to get me, even though my brothers hated me, they wanted to kill me, they sold me into slavery, they betrayed me. Even though Potiphar's wife did all that she could to hurt me, and she told lies about me, and she had me thrown into prison. Through all the bad things that other people have done to me, the affliction, God has still made me to prosper. And God is good. God is good. Look at Genesis 42. Genesis 42. Just before I read that, let me say this. Just like the dreams said, it happened. 7 years of famine did come. And listen, the famine was not only in Egypt, but it was in other nations as well, nations around. And what ended up happening was that people heard about, down in Egypt, they've got lots of food. They've got lots of bread. They are well cared for. Well, there was a famine in the land of Canaan. And Jacob, Joseph's father, remember, Jacob sent his sons down to Egypt to buy corn. He ended up keeping his youngest son, Benjamin, at home, but he sent the oldest 10 of Joseph's brothers, he sent them down to Egypt to buy corn. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 42. Genesis 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do ye look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, "Lest peradventure mischief befall him. I don't want something to happen to him too." And the sons of Israel, verse 5, came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Now, understand too, they didn't recognize him right off. A lot of years had passed. Joseph probably looked different, looked much older. Maybe he had a beard and different things that would have totally altered his appearance from what he was as their younger brother. Now he was able to speak the Egyptian language and so on. So he was, you know, he could, they didn't recognize him. But his brothers come and they bow down to him. Verse 7, Joseph saw his brethren and he knew them. He recognized them, but made himself strange unto them. And spake roughly unto them, and he said unto them, "Whence come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. This was a fulfillment of Joseph's dream, wasn't it? Remember that dream that the brothers would all bow down to him? The story is told in chapter 42 and chapter 43, but Joseph ended up giving his brothers some corn to take back for the care for their family. He put their money back in their bags even. And he kept his brother Simeon in prison. And he told them not to come back without bringing their younger brother Benjamin. He said, "I'm going to keep Simeon here. I'm going to keep one of your brothers here. But I want you to come back and I want you to bring your younger brother with you." He was doing something trying to get the family, whole family, to come down to see him. Well, the famine was great in the land, and Jacob's family ended up needing more corn. And so Jacob allowed the brothers to go back and take Benjamin with him, though he did not want to let him go. They came back before Joseph again, and still Joseph did not reveal to them that he was their brother. He ended up having them come to his home for dinner, and he had his servants take care of all their needs. Finally, after some other events, Joseph ends up revealing himself to his brothers. Look at chapter 45. I've been telling you this whole story to get to this one thing. Look at chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45 in verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before them all that stood by him." He couldn't hold himself back anymore. "And he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me. I want all the servants and guards and so on. I want them all to go out.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren." Maybe he began to speak again in their Hebrew language and he began to talk to them and he showed them, I'm Joseph. I'm your brother. Look what it says. Verse 2, "And he wept aloud." He wept aloud. He didn't say, "You dirty, rotten, no good brothers. I remember all that you did to me and how you hurt me, how you hated me, how you wanted to kill me and how you sold me into slavery and you wanted to be rid of me and you lied to Dad. You were the wicked ones. And listen, God has blessed me. Look at me now, brothers." He didn't do any of that. He wept. He wept. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. He must have been weeping pretty loud. The people outside the palace heard it too. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? Is dad still alive? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Can you imagine me and those brothers? And now here's the brother that's governor of Egypt. Their life is really in his hands right now. He could have some guards come back and throw them in prison or kill them. And they're afraid. Verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am your Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are five years. He told his brothers there's even going to be 5 more years of famine. And if God didn't send me, and if God didn't plan all this out, so many people would have died by now. Probably your family, you know, you would have died, and people in Egypt would have died, and people everywhere would have died because of the famine and the lack of food. She said, God planned all this. She said, verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, verse 8, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. This is the message. Joseph's attitude to his brothers was, don't be grieved about what you did to me and how you sold me. God sent me before you to preserve life. God worked it all out for good. You may have intended it for evil. You may have intended bad against me. You may have intended to hurt me, but God worked it all out for good. God allowed this to happen to me. And God has prospered me and God has blessed me. Look down to verse 15. Go over to chapter 50 now. Some different things happen. He gets with the family and all this, but look at Genesis chapter 50. We see very powerful statements made here. Genesis chapter 50, and beginning there in verse 15 to 20. The Bible says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. The brothers started to think, you know, maybe while dad was alive, Joseph showed some mercy to us and he didn't kill us. But now that dad's dead, Joseph's going to let loose. Now that dad's dead and gone, Joseph's going to have us killed. Surely he must hold bitterness in his heart. Surely he must be ready to get rid of us now. It says in verse 16, then they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph. I don't know if this happened or not, but the brothers said, father said, please forgive us. Father said before he died, Joseph, would you please forgive your brothers? Verse 17, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He said, I'm not God. It's not my position here to judge you or punish you. I'm not God. Get up. Get up off the ground. I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to have you killed. I'm not angry towards you. I love you. You're my brothers. Verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph said to his brothers, you may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph was simply saying, my brothers may have hated me. My brothers may have sold me into slavery. Potiphar's wife may have lied about me. I may have been thrown into prison. I may have been forgotten. And it may not have always seemed fair. And it may not have always seemed right. And it may not have always seemed just. I may not have always understood it all at the time. But my God has allowed it, and my God is good. God is good. Listen, I know that nothing happens in our lives that God does not allow. I know that if God's eye is on the sparrow, I know that He's watching me. God will give us the strength to help us when we're weak. Corinthians 12 and verse 9 says, 2 Corinthians, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I know that God will provide grace to help in time of need. I know that trials and burdens in life can help us to draw closer to God's Word, draw closer to God. In Psalm 119, verse 67 and 71, the psalmist wrote, "Before I was afflicted..." Before the affliction, before the trial, I went astray. You know, I went away from God. But he says, "But now have I kept thy word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." The psalmist said, "I may not have always understood it all at the time, but I look back now and I realize it was actually good for me, the afflictions and the trials, because it brought me closer to God. It helped me to know God better." When trials and burdens come into your life, I encourage you to draw closer to God than you ever have before. A man by the name of H.G. Spafford was a lawyer in the city of Chicago. He had a good job and a wonderful family. He had a wife and four daughters. Circumstances in life ended up turning for the worse. The Great Chicago Fire in 1871 wiped out his family's real estate investments. He owned a lot of property in Chicago and he lost it all. Soon after that, Mr. Spafford, though, decided, "I want to take my family on a vacation. It's been a rough time." He said, we're going to go visit Europe. And so he put his wife and daughters on a boat. He had to stay behind and finish some business. And he put them on a boat, on a ship, to go to Europe, go to Great Britain. He thought, "We'll take a vacation. We'll help Evangelist D.L. Moody there with some special meetings." Spafford ended up having to stay behind. Halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, their ship was struck by another ship. And their boat sank in 12 minutes. All four of Spafford's daughters were killed. His wife was just one of a few that was miraculously rescued. Mr. Spafford boarded a ship to go and to join his grieving wife over in Wales, over in Great Britain, and wanted to be with her. And as they were crossing the Atlantic, somebody came to him and told him that it was somewhere in this spot, somewhere in this general area that the ship that your wife and daughters were on, it was in this area where the ship sank. And as they were crossing the Atlantic Ocean, as he was a man who was grieving over the trial and loss of losing all four of his daughters in one accident, God gave him some words. And he wrote down these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." How did that man have that peace through that trial? Because he trusted God. He believed that God was good. Listen, we all have burdens and trials. We have things in life that maybe we don't understand. What should we do when the burdens and the trials and the struggles and the heavy loads, are hard to carry, hard to deal with? Trust God. Trust God. Realize that there is nothing that happens in our lives that God does not allow. Realize that there is nothing in your life that you cannot handle with God's help. Realize that God has a plan and purpose for your life. Don't get bitter at God. Draw closer to God than you ever had before. Allow God to bring some good in your life because of the burden that you've had to carry. You know what one of the best decisions you can ever make in life is? It's to forgive. To forgive. Joseph had already decided to forgive his brothers before they even came seeking his forgiveness. He wasn't a man living with anger in his heart or hatred in his heart or bitterness in his heart. He loved them and he forgave them long before. If we are not forgiving, we will be the most miserable people in the world. We cannot hold bitterness in our heart. Bitterness is like a poison. It hurts us more than it ever hurts anyone else. We cannot hold bitterness. We cannot live with anger and hatreds in our heart towards others. It'll only ruin us. We must decide to forgive. We must decide to forgive. Can you forgive your husband? Forgive your wife? Forgive your teenager? Forgive your parents? Forgive your brother? Forgive your sister? Forgive that other Christian? Forgive that co-worker? Forgive that boss who treated you wrongly? Can you forgive them? I don't know if any of us had more wrong done to us than Joseph did. But he decided to forgive. Some of you desperately know that no matter how you've been mistreated and different things, you need to forgive. You need to forgive. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, I ask you, please. Help us to be Christians who will forgive. Christians who will decide, I'm not going to live with hatred or anger or bitterness in my heart. I'm going to forgive. No, we need to remember that God forgave us for Christ's sake. And we need to forgive others as well. Father, no matter what's happened, no matter what trial, no matter what injustice, no matter how we've been mistreated, let us not live, Lord, with anger and bitterness, but with a heart of forgiveness. Showing mercy and love, patience, long-suffering towards others like you've shown towards us. Please, oh Father, I beg of you, help us to decide. We can decide. It's not our right to sit back and say, well, I didn't deserve. No, we can decide to forgive. Rather than you being angry or upset and holding bitterness in your heart because of that little disagreement, that little tiff, that little spat, that little whatever you had with your wife last night, why don't you go home a different man, a man who's forgiven? Show some love and kindness and hold no anger and bitterness in your heart. Is there somebody that you could think about right now that you need to forgive? Somebody who sometimes when you've thought about them, makes you mad. Will you decide to forgive them today? Forgive and forget. Remember what Joseph named his first son? God hath helped me to forget. He helped me to forgive and forget. I don't hold any bitterness in my heart. Lord, help us to live like that. Please, I beg of you.